Good morning, church. It's good to see you. I'm glad that you are here. I'm glad to be back home for sure. And we had a good visit with my in-laws and a good time with my father-in-law. And he was doing pretty well. And so we got to spend some time with them. So we appreciate that time to be able to travel and just get to spend some time with them. I'm excited to be back. I will be honest, I'm a little disappointed. I thought I was gone 5 days. I thought you guys would have all this licked and back to normal, but I guess not. I thought you guys would just take care of that. Yeah. Today's normal. Yeah. Give it 15 minutes. All right, this morning I wanted us to start in the book of Daniel. And I wanted us to share in the words of praise that Daniel offers up to the Lord after answering his prayer. Daniel has had his life threatened. And the king has had a bad dream. And he goes to all of his magicians and everyone who is responsible for being able to interpret such things. And nobody can interpret his dream. So he finally says, you know what? If you can't do this, you're no good to me, so I'm going to kill every single one of you. You're not worth having around if you don't do your job or if you can't do your job. So word gets to Daniel. And Daniel goes to God. Daniel says, God, I ask that you spare us in this situation. And he says, I ask that you reveal to me what the king's dream is so that our lives may be spared. And he goes to God in prayer. And God has already shown his face upon Daniel. God has already given him good favor and shown him that he would take care of him in a very difficult time, in a very difficult situation. And in Daniel chapter 2, I wanted us to share the words that Daniel lifts up to God. And as we read this, I'm in verse 20, Daniel 2:20. As we read this, I'm going to stress the name of God and the pronouns of God. Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belongs wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. As we join in the beautiful, wonderful, timeless line of praise that God's children get to offer up to him, today we get to be a part of that. And that's very exciting. And that's such a joy and a blessing that all those before us who have known the Lord have lifted him up in praise and song and worship. And we join in with that chorus. We join in by faith, and we join in sometimes what feels like afar. And we look forward to that day when we can join in his presence. But today we can make a joyful noise. Today we can join in that song. Today we can join with words and poetry and have our hearts lifted before the throne of God. God is good. He knows all things. He's in charge of all things. He sets things where they are. He removes things that need to be removed. So as we faithfully follow our Lord and Savior, as we faithfully walk in the steps of Jesus, as we faithfully offer our lives to our Father in heaven, let's join together today. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for such beautiful and thankful words this morning from Daniel. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the faith that we get to share with all the saints. for those that have come before us, for those that are in your presence, for those that are here today, for those that are all over your creation, lifting up their eyes and their hearts and their hands to you. Father, we thank you for allowing us the opportunity to have knowledge of you, to have understanding of you. Father, we confess we don't always understand the world around us. We confess that we don't always understand what's going on, but Father, we trust you because you made it. You blessed us with it. You are here with us. Father, we praise your holy name. We ask today that you receive our worship. We ask today that it be a beautiful and fragrant offering in your presence. We ask today that our songs of praise will honor you. We ask today that as your word, your truth is spoken and heard, we ask today that our hearts will be encouraged, strengthened, and changed for the better. We ask today, Father, that you forgive us of our sins. We ask that you straighten us out where we have missed the mark. We ask today, Father, that you increase our faith so that we may be close to you, so that we may do the things that please you. Father, we are grateful for the blessing of being here. We are grateful for the body, your family, the church, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Blessed be your name above all things. Blessed be your name throughout all eternity. Father, our desire, and we join your desire, is that your children know you and turn back to you and find forgiveness of sins and find the joy and the blessing of living life in your house, in your presence. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who was sent here to become our Savior. We thank you for accepting his life for ours. And we offer you our spiritual sacrifice, our worship this day. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Good morning to everyone. Let's turn to number 611 in the Psalm book, 611. Heavenly Sunlight. 611. Michael reading from Daniel, there, that passage where he talked about he challenges, he. I thought Michael was going to lead us into the theme song of the Man of La Mancha. He. Y'all don't know that? He can lead the world and make the... No? We'll sing one of these guys. Anyway, that just came to me when you start he, and I thought, okay. 611, Heavenly Sunlight. Walking in sunlight all of my journey over the mountains through the deep valley. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises. Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and God. He is the light, in him is no darkness. Ever I'm walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory.
glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises. Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing,
pressing my
singing his praises, gladly I'm walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
416. 416. Footprints of Jesus.
Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling, come, follow me. And we see while thy footprints falling, lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the where they go. Though they lead o'er the cold, dark mountains, seeking his sheep, or along by Siloam fountains, helping the steps of Jesus wherever they go. By and by through the shining portals turning our feet, we shall walk with the glad immortals past golden street. Jesus, make the pathway gloom. We will follow the steps of Jesus wherever they go.
395. Follow me.
I traveled down a lonely road, and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bound me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me. Say so tenderly, my feet were so weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim, the morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. I work so hard for Jesus. coast and sea. I sacrifice a lot of things to walk the narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune, I'm worth a lot to thee. And then I hear him gently say to me, I left the throne of glory and counted it but loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon a cruel cross. But now we'll make the journey with your hand safe and mine. So lift your cross and follow close to me. Oh, Jesus, if I die upon a foreign field someday, 'twould be no more than love demands, no less could I repay. No greater love hath mortal man than for a friend to die. These are the words Please spoke to me. If just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. But if by death to living they can my glory see, I'll take my cross and follow close to thee.
Seven, seven, eight.
Be with me, Lord, I cannot live without thee. I dare not try to take one step alone. I cannot bear the loads of life unaided. I need thy strength to lead myself upon. Be with me, Lord, and then if dangers threaten, if storms are tried, you'll burst above my head. If flashing seas leap everywhere about me, they cannot harm or make my heart afraid. Be with me, Lord, no other gift or blessing thou couldst bestow could with this one compare. A constant sense of thy abiding presence where far I am, to feel that thou art near. Be with me, Lord, when loneliness o'ertakes me, when I must leap amid the fires of pain. And when shall come the hour of my departure? For walls are known, oh Lord, be with me.
go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful day and opportunity it is to be in your presence and to be in fellowship with each other, Father, to praise and glorify your name. Father, to share with each other the love that we have for you and your Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the love we have for each other. And Father, it is our prayer that those that can't be with us this morning, for whatever reason it may be, Lord, that they are in thy care. And we pray to Lord that those who are suffering from illness, suffering from injury or other types of pain and or injury, we pray that you heal their bodies and their spirits. And Father, that you take away their pain and their discomfort, and so that they can go about the and enjoy the daily activities that they go through and have. And Father, we pray that you grant us your strength, your insight, your wisdom in all things, that those things that we say and do each day will be a light into the world, that others can see Christ living in us, and that as we strive to follow in his footprints, Lord, that we can help others in their time of need. And Father, help them not only in their physical need, but in their spiritual need as well. And Father, in all things, your will be done, for you are the great creator of all living things. And Father, you created this world for us to take care of and to enjoy. Father, that we all live in harmony and peace with one another. And we know that the things that are going in the world today are not from you. They're from the evil one. And Father, it is our prayer that you remove the evil one from this world, that you open up the hearts and the eyes and the ears of men, that they see thy truth. And Father, that they too come to know and that through your word, the love that you have for all of your children. Now be with us at this time through this service. Be with Michael as he presents his lesson unto us. Help us to open with open ears and Father, to live in accordance to thy word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 350. 350. When my love to Christ grows weak, sing this song and we'll have communion. When my love to Christ grows weak, when for deeper faith I seek, then unthought I go to thee, God on of Gethsemane. There I walk amid the shades, while the lingering twilight fades. See the suffering friendless for stronger faith I seek. Hill of Calvary I go, to thy scenes of fear and woe. There behold his agony suffered on the bitter tree. See his anguish, see his pain, love triumphant still endeth. Then to life I turn again, learning all the worth of pain. In a full self-sacrifice.
There's a saying supposedly attributed to John Wayne life is hard. Life is harder if you're stupid. I understand most of the bad things in my life occurred because of my own stupidity, leading my own life rather than one led by God. Jeremiah 10:14 says, every man is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Other things happen also, no fault of our own. Death, illness, wars, job loss, politicians. I want to read briefly from 1 Kings chapter 8. This is Solomon's prayer of dedication for the temple. It's quite long, but I want to read a couple of verses starting with verse 38. Whatever prayer or supplication is made by any man or by all thy people Israel, each knowing the affliction of his own heart, and spreading his hands towards his house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and act and render to each according to all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou alone dost know the hearts of all the sons of men. Now I will read one verse from Hebrews 9, verse 24. Verse 23 talks about the copies of things in heaven, think temple, where the Holy of Holies was. Verse 24 says this, for Christ did enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Let us pray. Dear God, we are awed in your presence, amazed about the love you showed us, that with the perfect sacrifice of Jesus, we have an intercessor for our afflictions. We humble ourselves before you as we take this bread in remembrance of that sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. Bow with me again. Dear God, all glory and honors is yours. We're grateful for the cleansing sacrifice of Jesus' blood. We take this cup in remembrance of that perfect sacrifice. In his name we pray. Amen.
Mark your songbooks number 940 as a song of invitation. Only a step. 940. Now turn to number 535, the Glory Land Way.
I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. telling the world that Jesus saves today, for I'm in the glory land with. I'm in the glory land with. I'm in the glory land with. Heaven is near and the way groweth clearer, for I'm in the glory land with. Lest all the call, the gospel call today, get in the glory land with. Wanderer, come home, oh, hasten to obey, for I'm in the glory land with. I'm in the glory land with. I'm in the glory land with. Heaven is nearer and the way grows clearer, for I'm in the glory land with. Onward I go, rejoicing in His love. I'm in the glory land way. Soon I shall see Him in that home above. Oh, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is nearer and the way grows what clearer, for I'm in the glory land
. You know, church, one of the gifts of 2020 is the fact that it's kind of hit us right in the face. And I love that because it's uncomfortable. It's painful. It's disruptive. But at the same time, it is such a gift because, you know, wherever you stand on the things that are going on around us, to be able to just see it and witness it, it is a shock to our system. It's a shock to our system, but that's a gift. That's a gift because so often we just fall in line with everything going on around us in the world until something looks, whoa, 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 whoa. We recognize that. That is completely bad. That is evil. I must stay away from that. And you notice how we just get lulled into things in this world? We hardly even notice. I'm kind of thankful that the enemy's face is a little plainer, a little clearer. I think it's woken some of us up. It's woken me up. I'm paying attention. I'm paying attention. However it goes, whichever way it turns out, and there's a few distinct possibilities, I know how I'm going to turn out. And I hope that you know how you're going to turn out. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for today. Lord, we are walking, just as we have sung today, we are walking in the footsteps of Jesus, and we know they lead to You. And Father, we praise Your name. And we take within ourselves the body and the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And our hearts are once again renewed, thankful for His sacrifice, praising Your name and understanding the gift that has been given to us through mercy, because we may now be in Your presence, washed, forgiven, sanctified. And Father, as we live our life, however many days You grant us, until Your Son comes back for us, We pray for strength so that we may be the people that you have called us to be. That we may be the faithful children that you have left here to continue in your work. Father, I pray for sunrise. I pray, Father, that you grant us unity in the gospel. I pray, Father, that you grant us purpose to serve you by serving others around you. I pray, Father, for sunrise today, that you remove a spirit of fear, but you fill us with your spirit of love, of power, and of self-control. Blessed be your name in this church, in your world, in our lives. We pray through Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and open your Bible to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. You know, in times of distress or unrest, or just times of upheaval and turmoil, which we've seen a little bit of, one of the things that the enemy does for us or does to us is tempts us to forget our identity, who we are in Christ. Now, some of us may be here and we may say, I would never forget I'm a Christian. Satan can't touch me. I would never forget who I am in God. And yet, let me see if we can relate to some of these things. We hear something and it makes us angry. And we get angry at how someone may act. We get angry at how someone may do destructive things. And the enemy says, oh, good, I got you. Now you're angry. Now when you look at other people, you look at them through those eyes of anger. And the enemy tempts us to forget, and he fills us with fear. And we see things on the news, we see things happening around us, and we think, I must take action for my own self-preservation. And the enemy says, oh, good. Because if I can get God's church, God's people, worried about their own selves, then they are not following their Lord and Savior, who said to follow me is about self-sacrifice. And it's insidious. It's evil. And it's sneaky. I caught some of it last week. The enemy tempted me. I was just seeing and reading about some things going on around me, and it just made me angry. And it just made me angry. And I thought about the things that have been changed and lost, and the things that are trying to be taken and removed and forced upon us. It made me mad. And my anger, of course, well, who am I going to get mad at? Well, I'm going to get mad at those people that are doing this. And I am so very grateful that God opened my eyes pretty quickly, that he revealed my heart and said, Michael, that doesn't do anyone any good. That doesn't serve my purposes for you to be angry and scared. Remember who you are. So I hope this morning, as we take a look at God's word, that we will be strengthened and encouraged, because church, if we forget who we are in Jesus Christ, we will never fulfill his purposes for us in our lives. If we forget who we are, we will not do what we are supposed to do. So we stand strong against the enemy. And we do that by holding tight to who God has made us. In John chapter 1, starting in verse 9, in speaking about Jesus, he says, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Truth and light have come into the world in Jesus Christ. Now, contrast that against being woke. Because you've probably heard that one. That's the phrase of those who get it. Those who understand. Those who see the things being done in the world around us and are really privy or hip to what's truly going on. That you've got to be woke. So that's one of those words. See, the thing is, the Bible tells us that truth and light come to the earth in Jesus Christ. That church believers, those who believe in the name of Jesus Christ, we are those who are woke. We are those who have had our eyes open to the life of sin and death that we were trapped in and Jesus called us out of. And because we have responded to that, because we have believed in his name, he said, all right, I've got something for you. I've got something for you. I'm giving you the right to be called God's children. You now are God's sons and daughters. You are his children. You have been born again. Not born of flesh. Not born of any specific color or pigment. Not born of any monetary or social standing advantage or disadvantage. Not born into the world like everybody else born into the world. See, we have experienced a new birth, a rebirth. We have been born of God. We have been born of God. That's who we are. We're God's children. So why would God leave his children in such a difficult and painful situation as we find ourselves in today? Same reason Jesus left his disciples in turmoil, in anger, hatred. Let's go over a few chapters. Take a look at John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, Jesus is offering his prayer. This is it. He is preparing these followers of his who have been with him night and day, and life for them is about to change. This is a big, and it's interesting as I've been thinking about this past week as we were kind of on the road and getting to drive a lot of miles. I was just thinking about some things, and one of the things that should turn into a sermon is one of the amazing things about 2020 is we are starting a new chapter. We just are. It's not fully written yet, but it has begun. And one of the things that it brought to me and the Holy Spirit said, hey, look at all the new chapters that have been done throughout history. And look at all the new chapters that have been done with God's people. And so I think that's going to be a future lesson. All of the different chapters that God has given his people and all the opportunities that each of those chapters provided. But here in John chapter 17, this is a new chapter for the followers of Jesus. This is a new chapter, a chapter in which his physical presence would not be there every day saying, hey, we should go to this town, or we should get in this boat over here, or you should feed those people, or hey, everybody listen up, I've got a story to tell you, or yeah, let's sit around this campfire and let me actually explain to you what was going on when I was talking to all the masses. And so the apostles, the disciples, the original disciples of Jesus, we're so accustomed to that, and Jesus is now saying, all right, your life is about to change. You're entering a new chapter because I'm going back to the Father. I came from the Father, you have believed that, and now I'm going back to the Father. That's a difficult start of a chapter, isn't it? You have the Son of God here with you at all times, and he says, I've got to go. Well, what about us? What do you mean you've got to go? What do you mean you're leaving us here? Why would you just call us out of our jobs and our lives to follow, and we have trusted and believed that you are the Son of God? We have left our nets. We have left our tax booths. We have left our family. And we are walking in your footsteps. And now you're telling us footsteps are disappearing? And Jesus says, yes. I want you to be ready, because that's exactly what I'm telling you. So a new chapter begins. I want us to take a look at, in John chapter 17 and see if we can kind of relate to this. Let's go down to verse 13. Now let's start in verse 11. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they may also be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them, and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me, and love them, even as you loved me. So why would Jesus leave his followers all alone? Why would God allow you and I to go through difficult, life-altering experiences? Why would he allow us to suffer discomfort? Why would he allow us to experience pain, physical, emotional, psychological, spiritual? Why would he do that? And over and over and over, Jesus says, just as the Father sent me into this world, I am now sending you into this world so that the world may know. When Jesus came in the flesh, he revealed the Father to us, right? I mean, we looked upon him just as his original followers. We look upon him and we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe that he came and lived a perfect life. We believe that he died on the cross, taking all of our sin and guilt with him and nailing it to that wood. And we believe that his body was placed in a new tomb. And we believe that on the third day, that tomb was empty, because death would not have the final say. See, Jesus came and did all of that so you and I, right here today, would believe. So that you and I would become God's children. That you and I would be reconciled back to the one who made us and loved us. That's why he did it. Jesus says the Father has sent me into the world so that the world can believe. And he says, I'm sending my followers into the world so that the world can believe. So, church, you and I must remember that we are children of God so that we will fulfill our purpose to live such lives and to share the good news with those around us so that they too may believe and be forgiven of their sins and become one with us and one with the Father and the Son. And see, if you and I forget who we are, we will not fulfill our purpose. We won't do our job. So, Jesus leaves for the disciples, and I believe he leaves for us. Three very important things in these scriptures. So what do we have? What do we have with which to prove to the world that God is with us? What do we have? I mean, how can the world look at me? How can the world look at you and say, I'm going to listen? Is it because I'm holding a sign? Is it because I'm screaming louder than someone else? Why would the world listen? Why would the world listen? And church, again, one of those temptations of the enemy is he's maybe got us feeling like, well, you know, there's so much yelling and screaming going on today, no one's going to listen to me. No one's going to listen to me. I mean, I'm not out marching in a street. I'm not radical. No one's going to listen to what I have to say. Some may not. Not everybody listened to Jesus, did they? I mean, he performed miracles. He brought people back to life. He healed what was broken, and some people just went, nope, not buying it. So if you don't think that you and I are going to struggle being left in this world and still trying to convince people, well, check again. Three important things. First one's found in verse 13. Take a look. Jesus says that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Church, we have the joy of Christ. We have the joy of Christ. Joy is a witness. Joy is a witness. I love that, don't you? The joy of Christ is a witness to the world. Number one, and let's just look at the most obvious, because when things are going horribly, and people see you, and you can somehow smile and offer a kind word and ask them how they're doing and focus on them and just be at peace. They go, okay. You're not falling apart. What is going on? Well, I have the joy of Christ. What do you mean you have the joy of Christ? Well, Jesus came to earth and he went all the way to his death. He was killed happily because he was doing what the Father needed him to do. And whatever I experience and whatever I go through, whatever I suffer, if I can suffer in the name of Jesus Christ, I'll do so with the joy of Christ. So church, when you're tempted to think, I can't talk to anyone, I can't make a difference, or it's all getting so dark and so ugly out there, I have nothing to offer, you have the joy of Christ. Almost puts a smile on your face. Almost. That's good stuff. Number two, look at verse 19. Verse 19, that they also may be sanctified or set apart for holy purposes in truth. In truth. Just because a lot of people don't believe it doesn't make it not, wait, doesn't make it not true. Double negative, did I get that right? Just because it's not real popular doesn't mean it's any less true. Right? Exactly. Jesus Christ has set us apart. That is, he has said, I am taking you. I am taking you. You are receiving my sacrifice for your life. And now I have set you apart for God's purposes. You are now a part of God's house. You are now a part of God's family. That is the truth. people around you go, you still believe in that stuff? How can you believe in a loving, caring God looking down on us when everything's just falling apart? Well, things have fallen apart since the beginning. Paradise fell apart. So just because people are going to make bad decisions, I'm somehow not going to believe in God? Because people can be horrible to each other, can do evil, unspoken, terrible things to themselves and to others, then I'm somehow going to go, oh, yep, you're right. There must not be a God. Really? Every teenager that made a bad decision, us included and the ones we raised and theirs, every teenager that ever made a bad decision, we just assume they were orphans? No, we don't. We don't say, huh, too bad they don't have parents. We say, where are their parents? Right? Yeah. So just because people do bad things doesn't make the truth any less true. You have been set apart for God's purposes with the truth. Don't let go of it. Don't lose it. Don't doubt it. Number 3, verse 21. Verse 21. That they may all be one. Church, our unity is a witness to the world. Our unity is a witness to the world. The fact that amidst all the chaos that we can get along with each other and love each other and serve the Father with each other. We do all these things together and we say we are one. Not one person, we are each individual people. But Jesus says, I want you to be one as I am one with the Father. Now, this speech in John chapter 17 is a very misunderstood one, and people really like to put some Trinity theology in it. You know, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, how can they be three? And yeah, it just makes your head, and people just quit. They stop. When Jesus talks about being one with the Father, he's talking about quantity of fellowship. He's talking about being one, being close, like you are with your husband or wife, being one flesh, being one, being so closely connected. It's not becoming another thing or another creature or a combination of two individual creatures. It's not that. It's that we're together. We share unity. We're at peace. We have a common love. We have a common goal. We have a common purpose. We're on the same team. That's what he's given us. So we have the joy of Christ, who can face anything this world threw at him, because you know what? I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. So all of this, I can deal with that. Church, you know where you came from. Ours is a little bit different, okay? Jesus came from the Father. You and I came from sin. But we have believed in Christ, so we have been made a child of God, so we know where we're going. We know where we came from. We know where we're going. We have the joy of Christ in our hearts. We have been set apart for God. So the world, having hated our Lord and Savior, might not think too highly of us. They killed our Lord. So they might give us a hard time. It's all right. I got the joy of Jesus. I got the joy of Jesus. I know that I stand on truth. It's not truth because I'm the one saying it. It's truth because it's God's word. That's why we hold on to God's word. And number 3, we're in this together. We're in this together. See, scripture warns us, hey, the devil's prowling around. He's trying to pick you off. How's he pick someone off? The same way a predator picks off someone from the flock. They find the one on the edge. They don't jump in the middle and go, here I am! And just snatch one in the middle. They just sneak around the side. They sneak around the side. Oh, this one's looking a little weak, maybe a little slow, maybe a little antisocial. Maybe they want to be on their own. Okay, I'll get that one. No. We are one. We are one. Let's turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. No, I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. Now, Peter does a great job of really putting together what we're talking about, who we are and what it is that we're supposed to do. And he does this here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and 2. So we'll start in chapter 1, verse 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Church, as children of God, we have been born again through an imperishable seed. He throws in this poem and he says, look, you go out and you see the scorching heat and you don't water your lawn and you see it, your lawn dies. It turns brown and it dies. It's perishable. It's not eternal. It doesn't last. It may come with the season and go with the season, but it does not last. That's how flesh is. That's how the body is. The body is born, the body lives, and the body dies. It's perishable seed. But see, the thing is, those who have been born again, those who have been born into Jesus Christ, when you and I were baptized into Jesus Christ, we were born again. We were given a new life. That is, the heavens were exclaiming. The heavens were exclaiming when you were baptized, new creation. Father, another child has been born. We are now children of God, and we are born of imperishable seed. That is, we are born into this eternal life. And so we look at the story of Jesus and we see how they treated him in the flesh. And yet we also see the Father says, son, I take care of my own and I will not let you see corruption. Come out. Oh, that's what imperishable seed means. That's what being born again means. It means that this perishable, that has an expiration date, doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter because I've been born again eternal. And the Father takes care of his family. And the Father takes care of those within his house. And the Father has promised to send his Son to come and say, everyone, wake up. Wake up. The good news, church, that has been preached to us, and that's why he puts that in there in verse 25. The good news that has been preached to us must still be preached to others. Do not let the enemy get you so angry or scared or so focused on yourself that you forget that there are those around you who are dead. There are those around you who are dead. Those who railed against Jesus, you know he never railed back. Those who yelled things at Jesus, you know he never yelled back. Those who treated Jesus poorly, he never returned such things. It's kind of amazing. And here we are, 2020 some years later. And we too have given up our fishing nets and said, that Jesus? That Jesus? He's still worth following. He's still worth following. And here we are. Because of his sacrifice for us, we're followers of him. And because he has shown us how powerful and good the Father is, we trust him. So let me read you one more thing here in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, as you come to him, this is Jesus, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious. Rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious. You know, church, when you start to feel down on yourself, when you start to think, is it all worth it? Or when it starts to get very uncomfortable, remember this. Humanity cannot appreciate the precious things of God. But you, like Jesus, are so very precious to your Father in heaven that he knows your worth. Do you think someone that's screaming at you because you disagree with them here on earth, do you think they know your value? Do you think that it's someone that would cause you harm? Or do you think that someone that would judge you based on an exterior thing, do you think they know your true value? No. So I'm not going to let them be my appraiser. They don't know my true value anyway. My value comes from the Lord. Your value comes from the Lord. The earth doesn't know what's important, what's not important. The earth chases things that are going to go away. Be they wealth, security, sin, sins of the flesh, a political side. I mean, even a human empire. Because we're all aware over the time that none of them are still around. Yeah, temporary. Temporary. And then down in verse 9. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't finish that sentence. Verse 5. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then down to verse 9. This is who you are. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. At one time you were not a people, but now you are God's people. At one time you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is who we are. Church, we are servants, royal priests, servants in the house of God, in which instead of just standing here, that was the whole point of blessing us and filling us with the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God. He does that here and he does that here. Why? Because he doesn't want his priests to be standing here at the altar on certain holidays going, okay, good, you got your animal? Okay, come on, let's take care of that. No, Jesus was the last sacrifice in that form. Jesus was the last blood sacrifice, and so now, making us still a priesthood, giving us a responsibility, he says, hey, look, I'm with you wherever you go, so go walk in the steps of Jesus. Do what Jesus did. And what did Jesus do? Jesus went. He went. And wherever he went, he loved, and he forgave, and he taught, and he fed, and he included. And then, new chapter. He says, okay, I showed you how to do it. Your turn. You remember when you had to turn over to one of your kids an important responsibility that you had been doing for them? While we were in Missouri, my oldest child moved out of my house. Yeah. He did. He said, Dad, I got my first month's rent, got a place to stay with a couple friends, and most of my stuff is out. I'm out. Wow, right? Whew. Yeah. See, I prepared him for this. I prepared him for it. I've gotten him ready, and now he's got to go out and do it too. He's got to go out and do it too. I didn't want him to stay anyway. Not that I don't love him. I have trained him to grow up. Jesus has trained us, church, to grow up. To be his priesthood. That means that the coolest thing that you're going to experience following Jesus this week is not this morning. You're going to have an opportunity to be his royal priesthood out there to them. So let's remember who we are. We are God's beloved children. And let's remember what we are supposed to be doing. Proclaiming the excellencies of the one who called us out of darkness into light. And you'll very easily recognize those that are still stuck in darkness. It doesn't take much. Share the light. Share the joy of Jesus. Share with them the unity that not only we experience and enjoy, but that is open to them as well. Be as inclusive as Jesus. Say, come on in. The Father the Father wants all of his children to come home. What's all this father and children stuff? Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you about it. Whew. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, this morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please let us know. We'll after we sing together, we'll share some prayer requests, and we will lift up those that need special care in this time. But if we can help you or serve you or pray with you with anything, please let us know. Let's stand together and sing.
You shall wear a glorious crown when he makes all his own. Only a step, come for he bled for you and I. He's the same love.
All right, a couple things that I know about. I know that everybody at camp last week had a fantastic week, and so that has answered prayers, and so we are very grateful. We are very grateful for that it went very well. I talked to Robert yesterday, and he just said it was a blessing. It was a blessing to all of them. So that went well. I know also. I believe it's still the case that Terry's able to spend some time with his dad. Is that, did I hear correctly with that? Yay or nay? You what? Didn't hear anything about that? Okay. All right.
Well, his dad was sent back to Bender Terrace, but he was being put in quarantine for 14 days.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we need to lift up Terry's dad. And then Irma's sister Brenda is going to the hospital tomorrow. She's got some kidney stones that she needs some help with. So she's going to go into the hospital tomorrow. So we will lift her up. So what else? What else do we need to know about? Oh, praise God. And Katie's still, her due date's coming up, right?
Yes, anytime.
It could be anytime. Or should be. It should be anytime. Yeah, Janet. Anybody else? Anything else? Okay. All right. Well, it's good to see you today. It's good to see you. We were excited to get back. Good. Good. I figured Mark could take care of it. Figured he could take care of it. Every time we have to travel, and everyone inside our car, we do a little dance. As soon as we pass back over the Texas state line, we were. I'll be honest. I was a little. I said, if things fall apart, I wonder if state borders would be shut down. But I talked to Ben Setliff. He says, I have connections. We'll get you flown back. Don't worry about it. I said, okay. He said, we'll get you back to Texas. I said, all right. We won't worry about it anymore then. I stopped worrying about it. All right, everybody. Remember, we still do the Wednesday night videos. So if you can find those, check those and listen to them. They are very encouraging and they've been very powerful. So hope you check those out on Wednesdays. We've got the stuff to do our giving in the back, and best way to do it is to fellowship outside in the fresh air. I would say stay cool, but man, you're gonna sweat. So we're all gonna sweat. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, I ask your blessings to be upon your believers here this morning. I ask that you fill us with your Holy Spirit. I ask that you guide our steps to live our lives like Jesus, that we will have the same faith, that we will have his joy within our hearts, that we will be sanctified in your truth for holy purposes, that we will enjoy unity just like you have. Father, let us remember every single day that we are your children, that we are safe within your household, that you are with us every step of the way. Father, we walk by faith right now. And what we are going to be in eternity, we know it hadn't been seen yet, but we look forward to it. We trust you. We've given you our lives, because you have given us the life of your Son. Increase our faith. Go with us as we go our separate ways, but walking together this week. I pray, Father, that we will share the good news with the lost around us. I pray, Father, that we will share your glorious mercies with those who need you. Blessed be your name in all things. Father, we are grateful that camp went well. We thank you for the adults and our kids that use this opportunity to grow closer to you. We thank you for protecting them. We ask that you be with Terry's dad in quarantine and all those at Bender Terrace. And we just pray, Father, for healing and for strength. Be with Terry and his family right now. Father, we praise your name and thank you that Coda got to go home. And we lift up Augie and we just ask that you continue to watch over him, that his strength will be your strength, that you be with his family and just strengthen their hands in serving him and strengthen their hearts in trusting you. Father, we ask that you be with the Nixons and the McCoys and this new life that we are expecting. We pray that entrance into this world will be a blessing and healthy. Father, we ask that you be with Robert as he's sick today and be with Fern as she's sick. We lift them up for your healing, for your touch, that you restore them. Father, we lift up Brenda and we just ask that you be with her in the hospital. We pray that she can get the help she needs for her kidney stones, and we just pray that you give her relief and strength so that she can get out quickly. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for an eternal kingdom. Because as this earthly kingdom is trying to destroy itself, our hope is in you. Our faith is in you. Help us to stand strong. We love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.